All right, welcome to Hour 2 of Wildcat Insider. I am John Kurtz. Mitch Fortner is with me here in studio. Wyatt Thompson is in Lubbock, Texas. If you missed any of him, it'll be podcasted after the show. We had him on for a little bit in the first hour, so it'll be just Mitch and I to take you through Hour 2 here. Get used to it this week. It's going to be a lot of me and Mitch. Tyler's on vacation. The big boss who fills in sometimes, Corey, he's on vacation. Just me and Mitch to take you through the entire week. Mitch caught up with Kindred Wiesman from the K-State women's basketball team. We'll play that at 5:25. We've got basketball and football here in the opening segment. Some mixed messages in terms of respect being delivered right now to the K-State men. Look a little bit at the national title game as well before we get you out of here. That is tonight at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, remember, vote in the Twitter poll. I'll get to that here in just a moment. It's at JL Kurtz on Twitter. What's the most likely scenario this week for K-State hoops? Go 2-0, go 0-2, and then either of the 1-1 options there with Texas Tech and Baylor, the two opponents. The results have been interesting to me. If you have a phone call, you can call us at 537-1350 or 866-776-1350 to join the show. As far as that poll question is concerned, we'll use that as a launching point here for the K-State men this segment. This week, after going to Kansas, nearly beating KU and Allen Fieldhouse, taking care of business against what's right now a pretty bad Oklahoma team, I ask, with at Texas Tech tomorrow and number one Baylor coming in here on Saturday, what is the most likely scenario this week for K-State hoops? Right now, the number one choice is one of the 1-1 options. So 40% of 315 respondents say K-State will beat Texas Tech and lose to Baylor. Now, I did expect that to be the number one choice, and if you really held my feet to the fire, I think I would go that route, that the most likely scenario would be to go 1-1 with the one win coming against Texas Tech. But I do think it's fairly close, and that is why I brought it to the forefront and brought it to the table as a question, because this team's been very good at home under Bruce Weber. Last year, they just didn't have enough bullets really in the chamber, I think, to hang with some of those teams like a Baylor. That was a disappointing home loss last year. But this year is different. Under Bruce Weber, there's been a history of playing really well at home. Baylor is taking everybody's best shot, seemingly now. They got a pretty good one from Oklahoma State over the weekend. I think they'll get a really good one tomorrow from West Virginia. So they may be weary from that by the time they come into Manhattan. And just all the stress and pressure of being potentially 16-0 in that game. I mean, K-State's hung at Allen Fieldhouse. There is a lot of reason to believe that K-State could be right there with Baylor. So I think it's worth having the discussion of which game is more winnable and then how many of them you feel like K-State could realistically get this week. What surprised me the most is that 35% of people, the second most popular choice, is that people are feeling K-State will go 2-0. Right now, a lot of people riding the positive momentum that we've seen generated by this team from last week. 15% think that they'll beat Baylor and lose to Tech. And then 10% think that they will go 0-2. I honestly would switch some of the results around here if I were putting it from most likely to least likely. I think I'd go most likely beat Tech, lose to Baylor. Second most likely beat Baylor, lose to Tech. And then it's pretty much a toss-up for me between 2-0 and 0-2. I think that's going to be a tough ask. Because if you look at what K-State has coming up this week in those two games, it was pointed out to me by Chris on Twitter, and I think it's a good point. It says, people are overconfident. They should be underdogs in both games. And I do think that that will be the case. Right now, K-State's a 5-point underdog, and actually it's changed to 4.5 even since I just refreshed the page, but still a 4.5-point underdog at Texas Tech tomorrow. So that may surprise you to find out, but Red Raiders knocked off 7th-ranked West Virginia last time they were at home. They're a pretty good basketball team. They played a similar game to K-State and Allen Fieldhouse, except, you know, midway through the second half when you expected K-State to fade, that's when Texas Tech did fade. So they're a fairly similar team, obviously in the same ballpark as the Wildcats right now, and it's a Big 12 road game, and so many of these Big 12 games so far have been decided by razor-thin margins. So, you know, if all goes according to plan, you would think it would be probably within a 5-point game one way or the other with Texas Tech, and same thing potentially with Baylor on Saturday.
The Cats, in my opinion, I hope they go 2-0, but I'm thinking 1-1, and I'm going the way of a loss at Tech, a win at home against Baylor. Baylor's going to lose. They're going to lose sooner or later. Might as well happen at the Octagon of Doom, when the place will probably be pretty full. It's a, what, a 3:30 tip Saturday afternoon?
And students, I would think, are going to start to
come back,
be coming back over the weekend.
That's a pretty similar time to when K-State beat number one Oklahoma last year. That was in February. But, I mean, number one teams lose in Manhattan, so it could happen this Saturday. But Tech is just a surprise team. And Wyatt, yeah, he said it earlier in the show that it was that Tech was a surprise team in this year. A lot of people are going to expect him to do much, but they got a lot of talent. They're going to do pretty well. I mean, Supermarket Sweep Arena is not an easy place to play, I'm sure.
Love that.
Or what is it?
It's United Supermarkets Arena.
Supermarket Sweep is on a game show.
Yeah, but I like that. I always make fun of the name in Lubbock, too, so that's good. No, it would be a mammoth game for K-State to get if they can beat Texas Tech. And, both of them would this week. I would say you get one, you probably deserve to remain in the top 25. I mean, depending on how the loss would go, if you are 1-1, I think you'd be still deserving of being in the top 25 where you're at right now, tied with USC as the 25th team in the country. And that was a nice sign of respect for K-State to get the nod and be bumped up from 30th basically to 25th this week. I think that shows you how much respect you did generate from the game against Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. But at the same time, there are some mixed messages being sent respect-wise because you are ranked, but then, as I said, you're a four
barely.
And a half. And you're a 4.5, 5-point underdog at Texas Tech already. So congratulations, you're ranked. Now you're going to be an underdog in two straight games this week. So that it's mixed signals obviously being sent to the Wildcats, but at the same time, it's also really just a reflection on life in the Big 12 and what this season is going to be like. And games like Texas Tech are where you have to start to put some substance to what you did against Kansas. Not that that didn't have substance, but it didn't in terms of a win. You're going to have to start building up some wins, build up this tournament resume. You're going to have to win some games on the road. And this is the type of place where if you are going to be a tournament team, you're going to need to go get a couple wins like this on the road against teams of this caliber. Need to start doing that tomorrow with Texas Tech.
By the way, I was really encouraged by the way how the Cats started against Oklahoma. They don't start strong like that hardly ever, and they do it against a Lon Kruger team, which, granted, they're a losing schedule right now. They're a losing record, but they're still coached by Lon Kruger. They're young, but they're going to get better as the year goes on. I think, actually, K-State was quite fortunate to get that game early in the season because I think Oklahoma's going to be a better squad. Hopefully they could get Woodard back, hopefully, for them soon, and that'll make them a better team. So I think K-State kind of got the edge on that scheduling there, but Oklahoma's going to be better this year. I mean, I kind of compared that in my head. I was thinking, like, man, that was really similar to the Ronda Rousey-Amanda Nunes fight where, Oklahoma got that one good hit early on, but then it was all K-State the rest of the fight, and then everything just kind of settled from there, which, by the way, the second half, I know K-State started badly. I heard all the groans and moans from all the fans. K-State was still the better team in the second half, even though they lost by 5 points statistically. K-State still did very well. Oklahoma just shot the ball phenomenally in the second half. They were over 64-65%.
Well, they made some adjustments. Bruce Weber said it. They started going inside, and K-State was not necessarily prepared right away to deal with all that, and I think you credit Oklahoma for that. But, look, K-State in the first 10 minutes of that game looked like they did for a lot of the game in Lawrence. When they play at a high level, they can obviously play with anybody in the conference. They can blow out teams that are at the lower level of things. But I think there is some reason to be concerned about not putting it together for the full game there, letting Oklahoma back into it, just like you let Texas back into it. If you keep doing that at home, somebody can jump up and get you. But they've also been totally dialed in for a full game in Lawrence, where they were playing a much higher quality team and in a much more difficult environment. So I still think it is in this team, obviously, to play complete games. And part of what, when I teased what we're learning about K-State, I think part of what I have learned is that I may have been a little off in thinking it was as concerning as I did early in the year that this team didn't have too much depth. I mean, right now, Isaiah Maurice isn't even really playing at all. He's been surpassed by Austin Budke. They're getting nothing out of any of the three big guys. If you throw in James Love and Dante Williams into that mix as well, that we thought would contribute, make this team so much more deep this year. They're not getting that, yet they still just went and played the most high-level game, really, we've seen a Bruce Weber team play in a long time by beating by almost beating Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse. So I don't think it's as big a deal as I did at one point in time. I think they've proven to me that they can still be a tournament-caliber team with those five guys. a sixth in Xavier Sneed sprinkling it off the bench. That strength of the six can take them to an NCAA tournament. I think that's been proven that they're a tournament caliber team there. Briefly on football, before we get to Mitch's visit with Kindred Wiesman from the K-State women's basketball team, to continue on the conversation we were having, obviously Elijah Lee, tough hit for K-State. He's not going to come back. He declared for the NFL draft late last week. He told Kellis Robinette of the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle that when he got information back from the NFL draft advisory board, he was hearing that he was a middle-round grade. So that would mean that he could expect to be taken in the third or fourth rounds. He thought that was too good of a possibility to pass up. He mentioned that his mom sometimes works from 7 in the morning to 6 at night, then has to go back to work from 7 to midnight. So basically working the entire day. He's trying to help his family out. Has not signed an agent yet, but is in the process of selecting one. And I am always, I think, more sympathetic to the player in these type of scenarios than your average fan would be, because it's very easy to get bogged down and think, okay, Elijah Lee, you could have made such an impact on a team that could potentially win a league title next year, and it's hard to separate yourself from what matters to you. I think if he is going to be a third or fourth round pick, I can't blame him too much for going, and it does seem like it would make some sense. He's not going to magically put on just a ton of size, so I'm not sure how much more he could have really done to improve his stock past the third or fourth round grade if he were to come back this year. Now, there is something to be said for trying to win a Big 12 title and the memories in college, and you don't get a shot to do that again. And if that's the route that you want to go, I suppose I'll listen to that argument. But if you're talking about his best future, if he really is a third or fourth round pick and he can prove that, then I think it's a fine move for him. I'm going to be okay with that from Elijah Lee's standpoint. I think a lot of people were, you know, really confused and upset last year when Glenn Gronkowski left early. And, you know, he winds up not getting drafted. He did find his way onto the Patriots practice squad by the end of the year. And it was a much different situation for him. He had someone in front of him in Winston Dimmel, who was younger and is the offensive coordinator's son. There were a lot of other factors there, I think, for Glenn Gronkowski. This one's a different scenario for Elijah Lee, but he's also going to get drafted higher or at all, which Glenn Gronkowski did not, which I think changes the situation here. I would just ask you to, you know, have some patience with that and try and think of it from Lee's standpoint, because there's so much more that goes into these usually than what the average fan wants to think and wants to make it out to be.
Well, he still has time to, because he's going to be looked at, he's going to be talking to scouts, working out for teams, hopefully gets invited to the combine. We'll see about that. But he's got some opportunities to try to impress some folks and try to, you know, raise his stock up a little bit, because one of two things are going to happen. Either somebody's going to steal him a little earlier than expected, or he's going to fall a little bit further than what he was projected to be picked, because he comes from K-State. That just happens every year. There's always somebody that gets picked, you know, a little later than that, what they should have been, and I just hope it works out for him. I mean, last linebacker taken by an NFL team was, what, Arthur Brown, and it's not – I mean, he's playing, but not really playing.
Well, he has not played much. No, things have not worked out well, really, for Arthur Brown in the NFL, and I think Lee is somewhat similar to him at the college level. The thing I would wonder about with Lee is how much better of a pass rusher he could be than Arthur Brown. I mean, I think he would have a future at the next level as a pass rusher, maybe outside linebacker in a 3-4, something like that. So I'll be curious to see where that winds up going with him. But my real, you know, we can talk about that all day long, and I'm sure we will as time goes on, what Lee is going to be in the NFL. But I think what, you know, people around here care more about is, what does this do to next year's team? And the ceiling of next year's team, because they seem to be set up to make a run at the Big 12 title. I think just look at the offense. If you're having a hard time dealing with the Lee news, look at the offense and what you have coming back next year, and you'll start to feel better, because you're going to start from a much better point. You know, your point of start for the offense next year is so much higher than it was this year, and I think that can lead you to believe the offense can more than make up for a loss, albeit a big one on the defensive side of the ball. Quarterback Jesse Ertz is the established guy. You'll have the entire offseason spring ball to work things around him, build things around him. And I said all year, you know, about a month in, it became clear he was the guy that was formulating the identity of the offense. He's coming back. Throw on top of that just how much better everyone's been in year two as a starter under Bill Snyder. You're going to get more and more stories, I'm sure, about that and the history behind that. But almost everyone has gone for a 10-win season. you know, once that has occurred, once they're back for a second year as a starter.
I think it's fair to say it's been a couple of years since we've been able to say that K-State offense will have weapons.
Yes, that was where I was going next. The explosiveness finally seems to be there, and that's what has seemingly been missing ever since Tyler Lockett stepped foot off of this campus. You know, you have a budding star, it looks like, at running back in Alex Barnes, assuming that he's going to be healthy coming back, and a lot of depth there as well. Again, this is all assuming that everybody comes back, which I'm sure there's a possibility that doesn't, but Justin Silman, Dalvin Womack, even Mike McCoy, who won Scout Team Player of the Week once this week, have heard some good things about him. Going to have a lot of depth there at running back and some explosiveness. Byron Pringle looked as explosive as anybody that was on that field in the Texas Bowl with the catch and run that he had. He has come into his own. He played his best football late in the year. You know, Dominique Keith was your leading receiver in terms of receptions. You are adding into the mix Isaiah Harris, who got his feet wet as a freshman, seems to have some explosiveness to him. Even Carlos Strickland, the former four-star recruit from Cal who sat out this year, could be in the mix. And then, you know, we know about the offensive line, maybe the best unit the team had this past year. They're returning four or five starters. So, ton to like there with the offense. I think that is the route that you need to go if you're having a hard time with the Lee news. Like, yes, the defense will probably take a step back, but if the offense can take a bigger step forward, which seems to me to be perfectly plausible, you're still going to be in a very good spot for next season. We'll head to a break here on Wildcat Insider. Just Mitch and I with you for the rest of the hour. Keep voting in that Twitter poll. Wesley Awundu at 540 said something after the game on Saturday that I actually disagree with. We'll have some fun with that. But coming up next, Mitch went one-on-one with Kindred Wiesman for the K-State women's basketball team. You'll hear that conversation here on Wildcat Insider.